You are now listening to the Way to Go Youth Podcast with Pastor Jerome Baker. This podcast is an outreach of A Place of Refuge Church located in Carrollton, Georgia, where the pastor is Bishop Barry Walker. Our vision is to help youth and young adults to be productive in every aspect of life according to God's Word. Now, let's receive Pastor Baker with today's message. You are listening to The Way to Go.
Primary word that we're going to focus on this morning is imitate. Imitate. Number of definitions and meanings of imitate, but a very simple term or terms that define the word imitate is to carefully follow. An imitator is someone who carefully follows someone or something. To imitate, again, means, even from a biblical standpoint, to carefully follow. One mistake many young people make early in life is imitating who they should not imitate. Yeah, that's one mistake that many young people, young adults make as they grow into adulthood, and sadly many adults make the same mistake, is that they imitate things and people that they should not imitate. And I want you to understand, in order to be confident in life, in order to be mature in life, and in order to be productive in life, you need to know who you should and should not imitate. If I'm going to be a confident person, mature and productive child of God, I need to know who I should not and who I should imitate. I remember when I was a child, there was a saying that my parents used to, especially my father, used to tell me. And he would say to me, "I don't need to be the type of person that is like monkey see, monkey do." And even though he wasn't calling me a monkey, he was basically trying to teach me, look, you just don't imitate everybody. And I believe that is something that still needs to be taught in our day and time to young people and adults. And so let's look at a few scriptures that will show us who we should not imitate, because our verse is clear in who we should imitate. But let's look at a few verses and see what the Bible says about imitating. Let's start in Judges 2. Are we on the same page? All right, let's go to Judges 2. Thank God for an attentive congregation. Let's go to Judges chapter number 2. And notice, if you will, verse number 12. And again, we're looking at who we should not imitate. All right? Notice, and remember, to imitate means to carefully follow, right? Okay, Judges 12 and 2. And they, talking about the children of God, forsook the Lord God of their fathers, who had bought them out of the land of Egypt or bondage. And they followed or imitated other gods from among the gods of the people who were all around them. And they bowed down to them, and they provoked the Lord to anger. As a child of God, we don't need to forsake the Lord and follow other gods that people serve. We don't need to forsake the Lord and imitate people that follow other gods. And see, that's still going on in our day and time. You have people that were brought up in God's house, people that have been taught scripture. The Lord has delivered them out of sin, taken them and delivered them and made them free from bondage. But then they get around other folk that don't serve the true and living God, and they start thinking, talking, and acting like them, not realizing that when they do such, they have forsaken the Lord, their God, and started following or imitating other gods. We don't need to do that. And you have to remember, look real closely and be very careful. As a child of God, we don't need to imitate some of the same language that folks say that follow the universe. No, I don't give offerings to the universe. I don't try to follow the universe and expect the universe to give back to me. No, that's New Age talk. I'm talking God talk. I serve the God, the true and living God that provides. I serve the true and living God that delivers. I serve a true and living God that can bring me out. You have to be careful at school, on your job, and even in your family that you don't imitate folk that don't even have a relationship with God. We should not pattern our lives after them because they don't know God. And if you do, look at what the text says. It angers God. It angers God. It provokes God to anger whenever we have been taught and delivered by the true and living God, but we start bowing down to false gods and doing like people that don't even serve the true and living God. Oh, y'all done got quiet now. Because it can get a little touchy. You can start taking on the ways of the world if you're not carefully imitating who you should. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 5. Y'all got it? All right. As a child of God, I don't need to forsake the Lord and follow other gods like other people do. No, we serve one God, right? Not many. Just how many? One, 2 Corinthians 5 and 7. 2 Corinthians 5 and 7. I know I'm teaching right. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We should not follow our senses. We should not follow our, help me, senses. God is spirit. Yeah. Our senses, what we see, hear, feel, are contrary to the will of God. And if you're not careful, young folk, you can become a type person that is following after your senses. You can be in a better place, a good place, a happy place, but your senses can cause you to move out of the place that God wants you to be in. You can be a young adult. God has blessed you with income, whether it be through a business or a job, but your senses can deceive you and cause you to move when God wants you to stay in a particular place. God done put you in a place of deliverance where you're free, but your senses can cause you to think that it's better to do something else outside of God, and before you know it, you'll be in bondage. Senses are a trip. Yeah. That's why we don't need to follow after our senses. Have you ever been deceived by what you see? Have you ever been deceived by what you feel? And so we need to make sure we don't allow our senses, young people, young adults, to lead us. Who should we allow to lead us? The Holy Spirit. He will guide us, the Bible says, into all truth. But you can get into a place to where you're looking at what your friend's doing. You're looking at what folk are doing on the internet. And you can feel like I'm just not where I need to be. And you can move when God ain't told you to move. You can do something that can set you back instead of advancing you. Oh, I have messed myself up before. Have you ever messed yourself up before? And so you have to be to the point to where you learn, I don't need to follow my senses. My senses may tell me one thing, my heart may tell me one thing, but I need to make sure I'm being led of God in everything I do. Let's go to Deuteronomy. I got an attentive audience, don't I? All right, let's go to Deuteronomy. Again, we're looking at who we should not follow or imitate. You just don't do something just because your friends are doing something. No. You're not going to do something just because you think it's better to do something. No, you're just going to wait on God. How many know that's the best move to make? Doing what God wants us to do, right? Let's go to Deuteronomy 18. Deuteronomy 18. And notice, if you will, verse 9. So I don't need to follow or imitate other people that serve other gods. I don't need to follow my senses and do what my senses telling me to do. Notice Deuteronomy 18 and 9. When you come into the land which the Lord your God is giving you, you shall not learn to follow or imitate the abominations of those nations. We do not need to learn to follow or imitate abominations. Look at the wording. I do not need to learn. I don't need to allow people to persuade me, convince me that it's okay to do something that God has called an abomination. An abomination is something that is greatly detestable, is divinely, notice my notes, unacceptable. It's something that God rejects. That's an abomination. God rejects that type of lifestyle. God detests that type lifestyle. And I don't need to learn to follow it. No matter how acceptable it is in society, I don't need to be persuaded by it. I don't need to allow it to get a part of my thinking, help me out, my talking or my actions. Now, my peers may do it, but I don't need to let that persuade. You may be curious about it, but you don't need to let that persuade you. Mighty quiet in the house of the Lord this morning. How many know we're going to see some detestable and unacceptable things in our day and time? You go to the bathroom and two folk in the bathroom doing something that's detestable. You turn on your phone and you see something that's detestable. You don't need to let that persuade you to start doing the same thing. And I'm telling you, young people, even young people in their 20s and early 30s, if they're not careful, are still easily impressionable. Just so impressionable. Just can see something and just say, well, I guess it's okay. No. We don't need to have that mindset. I'm not going to learn to do something that my God has told me not Well, you know, that's just the culture. Whose culture? How many know what they call the culture, young people, has nothing to do with the will of God? Yeah. And so you have to be careful. I have to be careful. Am I right about it? And so in Paul's day, he had to teach the people of God who they should imitate. He had to teach the people of God. Look, be imitators of God. You're going to see a lot of things. You're going to feel a lot of ways. But it's important for you to imitate God. Don't imitate folk that are doing things that your God has told you not to do. Imitate God. Y'all ought to help me say, be imitators of God. That was weak. Let's try it again. I almost heard y'all. Try it again. Ready, go. Be of God. Carefully follow God. Not yourself, not your peers. God and the things that are attached to God. I got to imitate him in how I think. Imitate him in how I talk. And imitate him in how I act. And see, you don't want to have that mentality. Yeah, I know this. Look closely at your life and ask yourself, do I fully follow the Lord when it comes to imitating him the way he desires me to? You have to be to the point to where you're so conscious of God as a young man. Do I wear my pants? Do I imitate the world? Or do I carry myself like a young man of God? Oh, look how y'all looking now. You have to be careful, young ladies, in how you carry yourself. Am I trying to imitate the latest fashion of a woman that's loose acting and loose looking? Or am I imitating God and striving to be the way he wants me to be as a young woman? I got to look at how I'm thinking. I got to look at how I'm talking. I got to look at how I'm acting. Now, when we talk about God, contextually, we're talking about the Most High God, the Supreme God, Theos, right? Biblically, God, young people, is his word. When we talk about imitating God, we're talking about following the word. Let's go to John 1 and 1. Let's go to John 1 and 1. Y'all look at John 1 and 1 with me. Some of us may know this verse by heart. John 1 and 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So when it comes to me imitating God, it says that I'm imitating or carefully following the Word. And we know the Word can be written, and it can be what? Revealed. So I'm carefully following the written Word, and I'm carefully following the revealed word. That's what God prescribes for faith walkers to do. Whether I'm 12, 22, 32, 42, or what have you, I need to imitate the word. I need to go by the written word, because here John 1 and 1 tells me that the word is God. Well, Pastor, should I be listening to that type of music? What does the word say? Well, Pastor, is it okay for me to wear this as a Christian? What does the word say? Well, Pastor, is it okay for me to do this and do that? What does the word say? That's how we need to be. That's what we imitate. Not what comes on YouTube, the word. Not what's on TikTok, the word. Not what your friend at work suggests. No, we imitate the word. But also the revealed word. What God gives his prophets to feed us. That's what I need to follow. That's what I need to think, talk, and do according to the revealed word. And see, we're in a day and time where many saints, young and old, sadly, are leaving what the Bible has told us to do. You got folk that are imitating daytime talk shows more so than imitating God or his word. You got young folk that are imitating rappers and celebrities more so than imitating God's written and revealed word. And it's sad. And it's jacked up. And it, and if you're not careful, you can be seduced by what's going on in the world. But I don't know about you. I made up in my mind I'm going to be an imitator of God. I'm going to imitate that written word, and I'm going to imitate that revealed word. Call me old-fashioned, call me out of date, but I'm going to say I'm walking in the word. If you young people are lacking confidence in yourself, you got to make sure and check, am I really imitating what the word is saying? If you always depressed, always, are you really imitating the written and the revealed word? If you are unstable in life, you always up and down. Work for 2 months, want to quit for 2 months. Work over here for 3 months, then you want to work over there. Are you really imitating the written and the revealed word? God is not the author of confusion. Whenever a person is unstable, that's a sign of confusion. That's a sign of confusion. And again, God is not the author of confusion, but of peace. But of peace. Yeah, I'm working at McDonald's, but I know this is where God wants me to be. Yeah, yeah, I went through that. I can't just teach it and preach it. I went through that. God told me to work at a grocery store and a car wash, and here I am, college degreed up. 2 degrees, a major and a minor. But I know God said, look, you work right here at this grocery store and this car wash until I tell you to do otherwise. And I had to get to the point to where I followed that. And I was washing them cars and putting groceries in them bags, knowing that I was in the will of God, knowing that I was following the written and the revealed word. And so I want you to understand, young people, whenever you make up in your mind that you're going to be an imitator of God, or some of you, you're going to continue to imitate God. Understand, it's a process. Man, following or imitating God is a daily process. I'm just going to be honest with you. You just don't get it in a day. You just don't be an imitator of God in a week. It is a daily process. It takes time. And I can say that based upon 1 Thessalonians. I have it here, 1:6. Look at what Paul says. And you became followers or imitators of us and of the Lord. You became. So to be an imitator or a follower of the Lord, and when you rightly divide that and look at this verse, it lets me know it's a process. It's a process to where you just follow that written and that revealed word the way God desires you to. It's a daily process. Because I'm telling you, imitating God, it'll work on your mind. Because sometimes you see one thing, but the written word and the revealed word is saying something totally, totally different. And you have to allow God to mature you to where you can trust in the Lord or his word with all of your heart. You can't sit here and tell me when the Hebrew boys were commanded to bow down to the golden image or to be thrown into a burning fiery furnace that they just heard one message and they were just imitators of God. No, it took a process. This was a life and death situation. Yeah. And so they had to mature to the point to where they understood, you know what? No matter what we go through, we just going to follow what God says. We just going to do what our God wants us to do. And it takes time. It takes time, young people, to mature to the point to where you understand, hey, I'm in the will of God, and I may not be doing as good as somebody else, but I know I'm in the will of God right here. And when God is ready to exalt me, I'm going to get to where I desire to be and be greater. Because how many know our God will do, young people, exceedingly, abundantly, and above what we can ask or think? It's a process. So every day, you got to understand, if I'm going to imitate God, I just need to do my part. I need to do my part. Let God make me. Let God cause me to grow. You know, I can grow if I just take heed to that revealed word. That's what the Bible says. If I just desire the sincere milk of the word, I'm going to grow. I'm going to grow in my faith. I'm going to grow in my walk. I'm going to grow in grace. I'm going to grow in every aspect of my life if I just go through the process. Go through the process. And that's where God has some of us. He's got you going through the process. Woo! All of us on different levels, but God is still taking us all through the process. Oh, yeah, you got to learn how to struggle right now. Yeah, you got to learn how to suffer. Because if you suffer with him, it ain't going to be no problem when it's time to reign. How many know some of us just want to reign? Some of us want to just be on top, but that ain't the process. God will take you from a low place to a high place. But you got to go through the process. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. So God going to take us through a process. And I'm just going to be honest with you. I have gotten frustrated with God's process. Let me just break it out. I done got in the flesh when God was taking me through the process. But I done got to the point to where I just say, all right, Lord. Let me just go back, repent, get my mind right, and let me just let you make me. Let me let you mold me. I'm the clay. You're the potter. Just shape me, Lord. If you want to make me this way, let me just go ahead and just humble myself and let you make me. Lord, if my process was taking 10 years, I thought it would take 3 years. Let me just humble myself. And Lord, let me just let you make me. It's a process. It's a process, young people. It's a process to being successful, having good success. It's a process. You ain't going to just buy no course and then just in 2 weeks, you know what I'm saying, your life is just going to be totally changed. No, it's a process. And so Paul reveals how we need to be imitators of God. He says, as dear children. Can I work the verse? As dear children. That's how we need to imitate God. It suggests two things, young people. First of all, if I'm going to be an imitator of God as a dear child, I have to be, first of all, willing to do. I got to be willing to do whatever it is that the Lord asks of me. I got to be willing. I got to be willing to think the way he wants me to think. Willing to talk the way he wants me to talk. And I got to be willing to act the way he wants me to act. I got to first have a willing mind. Lord, you want me to be an imitator? I'm willing. And let me tell you, sometime when God is taking you through the process and making you to be who he wants you to be, it'll work on you. Look at Jesus' life. Man, it got to the point to where he went to pray in the Garden of Gethsemane. He said, Lord, if it be possible, just take this cup away from me. But just like a child, he said, you know what? Nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. You got to be willing to obey your parents in their house until God give you your own house. You got to be willing to bring God his tithe and his offering, even though you're in a tight, even though you're trying to save and reach your financial goal. You still got, Lord, I'm still willing to just bring you your money. I'm willing. Things not going the way I want them to go, but I'm still willing to come to your house and worship you. I'm still willing to get down on my knees and pray every day. I'm still willing to read your word and meditate on your word, even though I'm not seeing what I desire to see. Secondly, it not only means to be willing as a dear child, it means to be committed. I'm just going to commit my ways to the Lord until he brings to pass what he promised. Amen. How many know when God wants us to imitate him, you're going to have things come at you to try to separate you from the love of God? You're going to have things to try to break your commitment, things to try to stop your dedication, things that will try to keep you from continuing to pray when you know prayer works, things that will try to break your commitment to bringing God his money when you know that he said he'll cause men to give into your bosom, good measure pressed down, shaking together and running over. He knows that things are going to come your way, but we can't break our commitment. I got to keep imitating God as a dear child. I just got to stay committed. I got to be willing. Woo, help me out and say, I got to be willing and committed. Yeah. If I'm going to imitate God or be an imitator of God, I just got to be willing to go through the fire. I got to be willing to go through the desert. I got to be willing to suffer for a while. I got to be committed to doing what I need to do as a Christian. And it takes something. It takes something. And I just want to encourage somebody that's going through the process right now, be an imitator of God. It's going to require some things of you. It may not go the way you plan, but you gotta meet the requirements as God is making you. How many have made up in their mind you're going to imitate God by a show of hands? Where you at? Or you're going to continue to be an imitator of God. Whether you are just starting on the journey or you are continuing the journey, I want to give you three things that I have learned about being an imitator of God. I'm going to leave the text and I want to give you some personal experience that is biblical. It's going to require three things to be an imitator of God as a dear child. Are y'all with me? First thing it's going to take is some seriousness. You're going to have to be serious. You're going to have a serious person is focused. A serious person is to the point to where they're not moved by what's going on around them. They're just to the point to where they're locked in. They're steadfast. They're immovable. They have their mind made up. Just like Jesus, when he was 12 years old, he had the testimony that I must be about my Father's business. And see, when you look at the text in totality, Jesus's family was imitating the traditions of men at the time. They were doing what was expected of them in a celebration during the time. But Jesus, at 12 years old, was so serious about imitating God, he was found in God's house asking questions, answering questions, and so forth. Would let me know, as an imitator of God, you and I have to be serious. You can't be playing around. You can't go days without praying when you're serious. You can't rob God of his tithe and offering when you are serious. You just can't do what your friends are doing when you are serious. You can't go everywhere everybody else is going when you are serious. You can't cast away your confidence when it looks like it's not going to work out. When it looks like it's not going to turn out for your good, you're so serious that you're still going to hang in there. You're still going to keep the faith. You're still going to keep hoping in God. Even though things don't look like it's going your way. You got to be serious. You can't be playing around. This is your life. Look at somebody say, this is your life. Yeah, you got to be serious. If you serious about God doing certain things in your life, then it's time for you to just make up in your mind, I'm going to imitate that written and that revealed word. I'm going to quit playing around. Secondly, I have learned as an imitator of God, you got to keep your flesh under subjection. Lord have mercy. When you're trying to imitate God, biblically, the flesh is contrary to the spirit or the things of God. So whenever you have folk trying to do what God wants them to do, the flesh is cutting up. The flesh wants to do something else. And that something else is usually not on the same page as God. And so you have to learn to keep that flesh under subjection. You got to learn to be to the point to where you just, I'm not going to do what you want me to do. I'm not going to do the desires that you have. I'm going to do what pleases God. I'm going to do what he wants me to do. My flesh want to stay at home, but the spirit is saying, you better go to prayer. You better go to church on Sunday. So I'm just going to imitate God. I'm just going to follow what the Lord wants me to follow. I'm not going to do what this flesh wants me to do. Now, y'all sitting there quiet acting like your flesh don't cut up, but y'all ain't fooling me. Y'all are not doing a good job of fooling me. Your flesh has some desires, and they're not all godly. They're not all holy, holy, hallelujah. You got to keep that flesh under subjection. You got to make sure you don't say what you ain't got no business saying. You got to make sure you don't do what you got no business doing. So when we talk to others, we're not a hypocrite. And when people look at our life, we can win them. Keep my flesh under subjection. And I don't know about you, some of the biggest battles I have in my body is in my mind. It ain't going to get no drink for me. It ain't smoking. Them desires my flesh can't get me. It ain't doing this to do it, but that mind. How many ever had a mind battle before? That mind trying to deceive you, trying to get you to be carnal. I have to keep my mind stayed on him so I can have some perfect peace. I'm talking to somebody in here besides myself. When that mind is coming up, you know what I found out that has helped me to get my mind in the place it needs to be? That word. Sometimes I just got to just meditate and confess that word. Sometimes I just have to go and pray the word and bring thoughts into captivity that try to rise above the knowledge of Christ. And see, young folk, if you don't learn how to put the word on your own mind, you know, the world says things like you'll have a nervous breakdown. You'll burn yourself out. And see, all that talk right there, that's worldly talk. But we got to understand that God gave us a sound mind. God gave us power, and we have to put our flesh under subjection, young folk, and imitate God. Especially when things are going the way you want on your timetable. You thinking it should have happened or been happy. But God said, no, we're gonna take some time with this. Woo! How many know what I'm talking about? And see, if you're not there, one day, you're going to have to experience this. And so you're going to have to learn how to put your flesh under subjection. Mental battles. Sexual battles. And so forth. Got to keep that body under subjection. And finally, when it comes to being an imitator of God, and we know as dear children, I want to finally say, we have to remain connected to God's shepherd. Amen. There's no way that you can imitate God and be disconnected from his shepherd. Amen. When I'm imitating God, I'm indirectly imitating him by imitating my shepherd. Because the Bible teaches imitate him as he imitates Christ. What is that saying, young people? I have to stay connected to what's being revealed from my pastor. Pastor just taught about being an imitator of God, so that means I need to make sure throughout the week I'm imitating God. I'm just to the point to where I'm staying connected to what has been revealed from my shepherd. How many are understanding thus far? Why is this important? Because that's where my prosperity is. If I believe his prophets, I shall prosper. What is that? 2 Chronicles 20:20. Now you know. 2 Chronicles what? 20:20. And it's sad. Matter of fact, it's insulting to God when young people are more connected to celebrities than they are to their own shepherd. It's sad and insulting to God when young people, even grown folk, are more connected to a sports team than they are their gift that God sent them. How many understand a shepherd is a gift? Jeremiah 3:15. Come on, young folk, and I will give you shepherds according to my heart that will feed you with knowledge and, but you got some young people, they're more connected to a sports team, to a movie, to a cartoon than they are to God's shepherd. You can ask, who lives in a seashell under the sea? And you know what they'll tell you? SpongeBob, SquarePants, just easily connected. What's the name of that big red dog that teach you your alphabets? Oh, they can tell you Clifford, the big red dog. Well, what's the name of that little construction man with the yellow hat? Oh, look at you, Bob, the builder. Well, what's the name of the blue thing that clues the little dog? They just see how it just come right out of you. But what was your pastor's message last week? What was the verse that your pastor taught you on this morning? Let me just pull out my phone. Can I look at my notes, Pastor? But what happened to SpongeBob? What happened to Blue's Clues? What happened to Clifford and Bob the Builder? You see how easy it is to be connected to that? Well, name me three of the hip-hop wives. Name me three of them. Boom, boom, boom. Well, name me two characters that's on Power. Boom, boom, boom. Well, name me six of the apostles that Jesus called. Somebody said Paul. Wrong. No. You know we love you, but look back there and just say no. No. But I'm doing this not just to be doing it. We got to be connected. What's the theme that your shepherd gave for this year? It need to flow right out of you. It need to flow right out of you. Just like we heard, just right there. Don't be ashamed. It need to flow right from you. Yeah. Well, what is an imitator? I've been up here for 45, 50 minutes. You need to be able to get it. An imitator is somebody who, carefully follows. You was almost there, though, right? But you're listening. You're listening. But how many get the point that I'm making by a show of hands? Yeah, that's how it needs to be. That's how it needs to be. Because again, what I'm being taught, that's what God expects me to imitate or live by. He expects me to imitate it or live by it. This is it. And the longer you've been in God, the more that is expected of you. I sure enough expect the ministers to be connected to me. I sure enough to expect leaders to be connected to the pastor, right? But you know who some of the most disconnected folk are? In a church, sometimes, now y'all quiet and don't want to fill in the blank. Leaders and ministers. Should it be that way? No. Now, I thank God we got some that I know that are sure enough connected. But it don't need to stop with the leaders and the ministers. I need to know that musicians are connected to the shepherd. I need to know that the praise team is just not anointed when they sing, but I can stop them in the parking lot. What you learned today? What stuck in your spirit from the shepherd? Or if they were down with Bishop at the big church, what Bishop teach on? And what did you get? Some of the young adults, that do likewise, I should be able to stop and say, hey, what you get today from service? And they give me something, I say, elaborate. What do you mean by that? Or what did you get from that point? That's how we know we are connected. And we're imitating God as dear children. How many learned the lesson on today? And you got it. Well, I'm going to stop right there. Let's give God a hand clap for the text and the topic. Come on now.